Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose and they called him and said to them, where is your faith? Because you prayed
all night, but he filled up with all your might. Child of Christ, have awoken the Master. He knows the point. Lift your heads in time, rejoice. Child of Christ, have awoken the Master.
It hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun, but seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now. Because you prayed
all night, cause you filled up with all your might. Child of Christ, have awoken the Master. He knows the point. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child of Christ, have awoken.
You're up there worried while he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, cause he'll soon bring peace. Just one word from his voice, and it all must cease. Because you prayed all night, cause you held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. He knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Because you pray. Cause you've held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. He knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Child, your cries have awoken the
Excuse me. Not long ago, I was visiting with my dad in Roberta, Georgia, and this is kind of on the reverse side of a father figure knowing the child's voice, but he was backed in with his wheelchair in the lobby. Of course, Ben Tidwell, he was with me, and we were visiting with him. I said, watch this, Ben, and across the little hall there, I said, Dad. And he turned around and said, son. And the amazing thing was, that could have been any child calling to the dad or parent, but he knew my voice. And I want to say that the Lord knows our voice, and he recognizes his children. And, well, that is the same similarity. But anyway, it's such a blessing to be here this morning. Good to see you. Hope you've had a great week this week. And I'm planning on having a great Sunday today. Let me mention just a couple things, and we will progress in the service. We have Brotherhood CLU today at 4 o'clock. And so remember that for those who would like to join the women in a time of devotion and prayer. And the same thing for the men at 4 o'clock. All are welcome to join our Brotherhood CLU meetings today at the church. Also, this evening after the PM service, we'll have our conference. And, of course, this is just for the teachers and officers of the church. And so just be mindful of that after our service tonight. And also, in just a moment, we won't take long, but just a brief, maybe half a minute to say that. We will mention a missionary that we support and a couple things about them. I do want to say it's good to see Miss Catherine back with us. And, what a blessing it is to see her back with us. And the Lord has been touching her mother, touching her and Brother Ceylon, and no doubt through the power of prayer. We appreciate our church praying for her during this time and her family. I do want you to remember little Bentley. That's Miss Joanne Rich, grandson. And I believe he went Friday. Is that right, Miss Joanne? Just to for a checkup and all, to look at his... Okay. And little Bentley, he has a tumor on the brain, I believe it is. I believe, of course, they're, like she said, they're holding off on that for a little bit longer. But remember him. Also remember Eli, another grandchild, and then Aiden, the whole family. Need your prayers. So remember them when you pray. I want to encourage you to grab a bulletin this morning. And just keep in tune of what's going on and all the other prayer requests and different things. I do want to say, I mentioned Wednesday night, and I'll go ahead and mention it again, but Brother Larry Bennett's cousin Alan, he went on to be with the Lord this past week, and we've been praying for him for some time now. So I remember their family as they prepare to go to his service pretty soon. So again, very lengthy prayer list. Be in tune with the things that's going on with our sick folk, and we will appreciate that. Let's pray, and then we'll mention our missionary. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love this morning. And Lord, we're thankful that the times when we're overwhelmed and our soul, Lord, seemingly is sinking, and we're bewildered, and possibly we even start to doubt. Fear arises in our hearts, Lord, about many things. We're glad you're there for us. Lord, even when we don't have the words to say, Lord, you know our hearts. God, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. I'm thankful this morning that we have a church that prays, and church that stands in the gap for one another with intercessory prayer. Lord, help us continue that, to be a praying church. And on Wednesday nights, for some time now, we've all gathered around the altars and took our time in prayer. And Lord, I believe we're seeing results of that. God, if we're not connecting to you in prayer privately, there's not going to be any kind of power revealed publicly. Because it all starts with our one-on-one time with you. And I'm reminded in the four Gospels so many times that Jesus separated himself to a mountain alone to pray. I like what one preacher said at one convention one time. He said that no one is called into ministry. Lord, how I was kind of confused when he said that, but he said we're all called into intimacy. And there will be ministry if there's intimacy. So, Lord, I pray that you would smile upon us today, and you know who's here and you know who needs what in their lives, Lord. We pray that you would speak loud and speak, Lord, to their hearts, as we know you always do, Lord, because you speak to mine. Be with all those on our prayer request sheet, Lord, all of those that have been in surgery, going to surgery, battling cancer and the elements of the flesh, those who are in financial strain, those who are in broken homes, those, Lord, that just need you right now. We pray that you would just throw a warm blanket of grace upon everybody. Help us, Lord. Just raise our hands and say, thank you, Jesus, that you're a provider. We love you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Just briefly, very briefly, we had, and of course, here lately, we've had several missionaries that's pastored the church. And we've had another couple came this past Wednesday night. Destinies, but I know I'm pronouncing that wrong. But there are two missionaries to the Philippines, and they were back with us Wednesday night, and they were a blessing. But not long ago, there was a young couple who came who just began their deputation, raising support, visiting churches, presenting their work. And that is John and Amber Canavan. And Brother John, I invited them up to say a few words at the end of the message and in the service. And they are missionaries, home missions, to New York. And I just thought that was the most amazing thing. Not only we already know about home missions and then foreign missions, but a home mission to New York City. And that was just amazing. And what he presented, how that he and his family being raised there and Catholic and all of that, and how that God rescued him from Roman Catholicism and the bondage there with that. And now he just wants to go and tell the good news up in New York, him and Sister Amber. And so we are supporters of them now. And if you want to reach out to them on Facebook or ask me about them, I'll be glad to show you or tell you. And that's John and Amber Canavan, missionaries to New York. So you pray for them, Brother Allen.
Church, if you'll stand with me, let's sing that chorus that says, Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name. Something about that name.
Yes, there's something about that name.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. Again, it is so good to see you in the house of the Lord. If you're visiting with us, You are a special guest today, and we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this morning. Please remember the service this evening, 6 o'clock. But, of course, we do have CLU and Brotherhood at 4, choir practice immediately following that, probably somewhere around 5:15 or so. So please remember that. And also, I believe, Miss Darlene, you have an announcement for us this morning. Tomorrow, if you would like to go and be a blessing, I know that will be a blessing. Please go and try and help there. But thank you for that. Thank you for following the hand of the Lord, Brother Brian, for God's hand to be upon that. Also, please remember all the other prayer requests. It is so good to have Miss Catherine back with us this morning. Pray the Lord continue to touch in their lives in that area. So, but do remember all the prayer requests. We have a very lengthy list this morning. Pray the Lord would just be with each one. Let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask him to be with us this morning. Pray for pastor as he brings the message, acquires we sing, and just ask the Lord to fill this place with his Holy Spirit. Our prayer would be, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know him as personal Savior, that this would be the day that they'd realize that and come to know him as the Lord of their life. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you, Lord, for your sweet, sweet Spirit in this place, Lord, that we've been able to fill already. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible study hour this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the choir, for the songs, Lord, that we've already heard. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunities, Lord, that you give us to try and be a blessing to others. And, Lord, I pray that you'd be with the young people, Lord, as they go tomorrow. And, Lord, I pray that you'd just touch them. Lord, be with every prayer request that's been given. And many of that are unspoken, Lord, you know each one. Lord, we thank you for that. Pray that you'd be with our pastor this morning. Lord, may our hearts and our minds be open to receive your word. And Lord, our prayer would be especially this morning, if there's someone that doesn't know you as Savior this morning, that this would be the day that they'd realize that and come to know you as the Lord of their life. Lord, again, I pray that you'd bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Draw us close to you today. And we'll be careful to praise you. Thank you for all that's accomplished. Lord, be with COU Brotherhood this afternoon. We'll praise you for all that's accomplished here today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
No one knew how alone I was feeling, and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said, my life is fine without you. You see, I was covering up those secret tears that I cried. But then one day, someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died to purchase my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood I found pardon, and my sins are washed, they're all washed away. Oh, my tears are washed away. Yes, it's true, there've been days when I failed you. Lord, you know that there's been times I've gone astray, but I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness, and your ear is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. You see, other friends, they've never been as close to me. You see, I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow, knowing you are everything I'll ever need. I'm amazed that you love me. See, I'm amazed how
I just got to say something this morning. I don't know if you've ever been there where it seems like you just let God down, just feel like nothing goes right, nothing ever happens the way you think it should. But let me tell you something, folks. We serve a God who's able to do above and abundance and beyond what we could even think about doing. And when we're at our lowest point, when we're at our lowest moment, God can reach down and say, I got you, child. You know, his ear's never deaf that he can't hear our cries. He's never able to meet our need. I didn't say he meet all of our wants, but he always meets our needs. I have never been without because I have him. I'm just a crazy believer. I'm just crazy enough to believe if there's only one soda cracker here in Powder Springs for everybody to eat on, I'm going to be on one side of it and y'all be on the other side. I mean, that's just the way I feel. Because I know God said he would supply our needs. Amen? Amen? I don't normally do this, but David, if you could take me back to that second verse again. Listen, folks, I don't know what you're going through. I really don't. I know what I'm going through, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm so thankful to know tonight, or today, that my God, that our God, his ear's not heavy, means he ain't deaf, and he hears our cries. Even those cries that we can't speak. The times that all you can do is just sit there and cry and moan. He hears those things, folks, and he's touched by that. And he's concerned about you, concerned about me. No, yes, it's true. There have been days when I felt you. Lord, you know there's been times that I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness. And your ear is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. You see other friends, they've never been as close to me. You see, I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow. Why? Knowing you are everything I'll ever need. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care through your precious blood. Sins are washed, they're all washed away. Oh,
lose connection with a mic, but not the Lord. So, appreciate the men. They put fresh batteries this morning, and I'll, let me try it again, Brother David, or we're good on the pulpit mic, wireless pulpit. All right. Well, you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
And much has been saying about the Lord and His faithfulness. And appreciate the Lord and His unconditional love. It amazes me, truly. Brother Randy, I'm amazed as well how that the Lord would still smile and upon us and open doors and bless us and meet bills when things get kind of skinny. And He's a faithful God, and I just want to be faithful as humanly possible as I can to Him while I'm on earth. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the New Testament book, the first gospel, Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 12. Yes, ma'am. Sharing it, Miss Nancy. She shared that with me last this past Wednesday night, and that is truly, truly God on time. Before having time to pray for help, anywhere you get a flat, especially on the interstate. But praise the Lord for that, Miss Nancy. Again, turn to Matthew if you're not there already. Matthew chapter number 12. In just a moment, we're going to be looking at verse number 20 in Matthew 12. I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to introduce the scene, the theme here in chapter number 12, and then, Lord willing, bring a thought to you. Let's pray, and then we'll introduce the subject. Heavenly Father, we come one more time. In Jesus' name, Lord, and we pray for the next few moments that You would be with us. Lord, and help us have a ready mind and an ability, Father, that comes from You to just communicate the truths of Scripture to the hearts of Your people. And we pray that if someone's here that doesn't know You, Lord, today would be the day that they obey the heavenly call for salvation. Come to You and ask them in your heart. And for the Christian today that may be struggling, may be in over their head as they may feel, let them know, Lord, that the things that are over our head is under Your feet. And Father, we'll praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Gospel of Matthew, especially chapter number 12, which we're looking at today. If you notice in verse number 13, we have Jesus healing the man with with the withered hand. And what an extraordinary event. Anytime Jesus healed anyone, it was extraordinary, supernatural, his super on our natural. And but no doubt he healed this man. And we're not preaching about the man with the withered hand today. We have before, but his hand was withered and it was absent of moisture. It was contracted and drawn in. And for years and years, he had this problem with release and functionality. And so Jesus came on the scene and asked him, or actually told him, gave him a command to stretch forth his hand. And he obeyed the word of the Lord, and his hand received its restoration. In verse number 13, you'll see that. And so, but in verse number 14, we have Team Pharisees. And they had a private huddle in verse number 14. There was this religious huddle over the healing of this man with the withered hand. And Team Pharisees, boy, they were really wanting to get Jesus. They were wanting to destroy him. Look at verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council, a huddle, held a council against him, how they might destroy him. We know them Pharisees holding up, trying to hold to the law and things on the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, and you can't do anything. Trying to really pin Jesus to the law and trying to destroy him, saying that he does his works from the power of Satan in other places. And so we have the situation this morning with Jesus recently healing this man with a withered hand and the Pharisees after him. I want to begin reading in verse number 15 down to verse number 21 because it tells us what Jesus did next. And then again, I want to highlight verse number 20 this morning as our text verse and see what the Lord may have. Verse number 15, after the healing, after the team huddle of the Pharisees, it says, "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. Great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." How about that? "And charged them that they should not make him known." Verse number 17 says, "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust." So we have Jesus withdrawing himself. You know, it's so important that we compare Scripture with Scripture and really harmonize Scripture and read things in the flow of the chapter, because you can easily say something out of context, or actually many other religions and cults even isolate a verse and build their theory upon it. I say that because in verse number 15, Jesus withdrew himself. And then in verse 16, the Bible says, "And charged them that they should not make him known." Well, Jesus tells us that we're to make him known. And so it's very important to study Scripture and harmonize with the whole Bible in its entirety. And so we see Jesus had withdrew himself, and he charged them that they should not make him known. He did this because his hour was not yet come. And some things had to fall in place. And so Jesus knew that his hour was not yet come, so he withdrew himself and told the rest not to make him known. Verse number 17 gives us that Old Testament prophecy that is near fulfillment at this particular point. He says in verse 17 that he withdrew himself and said not to make him known that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." And so there was more involved at this particular point so that Jesus would withdraw himself. Verse number 19 continually speaks of this prophetic word. In verse 19 it says, "He," speaking of Jesus, "shall not strive." The word "strive" here means wrangle. It means to wrestle. And Jesus wasn't a wrestler on the scene. He wasn't going to argue and fight, and so he withdrew himself. And then it said, "He shall not strive nor cry. Neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets." The word "cry" has to do with slander, or has to do with talking much about. It means clamor. It means threats. So Jesus, again, wasn't this threatening wrestler on the scene, ready to bounce these Pharisees away. Sometimes when you read the Bible, it makes you want to do that. It makes me want to do that. I like to invade that team huddle when they were huddling. And do a couple bouncing through the house. A couple bounces. But nonetheless, he's not one that was going to be a striver against men. And there was no clamor in his voice, no threatening against these. There was a particular plan to follow. Verse number 19 again, the latter part says that "there shall any man hear his voice in the streets." Again, there was more for him to do, and Jesus didn't want any praise to be ringing out. He didn't want anything to be said so that he could conceal and reveal later. But verse number 20 is going to be our key verse this morning, where he says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory." All these verses, at least verse number 18, 19, and 20, and 21, again, were foretold back in Isaiah 42, 1 through 4. And this morning, on purpose, in being led of the Lord, he called my attention to verse number 20. And I just want to take this part of that prophecy that's mentioned now, that was first mentioned in Isaiah. I want to take that verse, and I want to just preach on the bruised reed and the smoking flax. The bruised reed and the smoking flax. And we're not isolating this verse from the flow of the chapter, but since it is mentioned and given reference back to Old Testament prophecy, I believe there's some things here in verse number 20 that's significant for us today. Again, Jesus had healed a man. He's in isolation now. His hour has not yet come. And the Father tells us why he's here. There's several things he's to do. And while he's here, he's not going to strive with men. He's not going to be guilty of any clamor against the Pharisees and other men, strive and wrangle with them. And verse number 20 really tells us what he is going to do. And it really sets in motion a pattern for all of us to follow. And so this morning, let's look at verse number 20 for a moment. The bruised reed and the smoking flax. What does it mean, bruised reed and smoking flax? How does it relate to us today in our life? Number one, in verse number 20, I want you to notice that this verse, first of all, is speaking of the wounded. The wounded. Notice what he says. He says, "A bruised reed." What does he mean, bruised reed? He says, "A bruised reed shall he not break." We know that a reed, and I'm sure it's in the picture behind me, if you can see that. if you ever been to any marshy areas, swamp-like places, is at least what I think of. And there's this area that, as you see in the picture, can be known as reeds. And Jesus is using this for a reason. Because he says, a bruised reed shall he not break. Now, there is a bruised reed in the picture. It's bent over. It is very, very feeble. Looks like it's been snapped, but it's still hanging on. And this definitely gives a picture. Jesus is explaining to us that everybody is not walking around healed and happy. He says there are some people on the scene that are wounded. And they're like this bruised reed. They're very, very fragile as to where they're at in life right now. If a man were to walk by, one commentator said, by a reed that has been bruised, that all it would take is just one brush of the pants and that reed would fall apart. If a baby's breath were to blow on it even, it could break apart. So this morning, Jesus is talking about the wounded. And he said that there are many, many, many people that need to be saved in this vicinity, and they're wounded. He said, I'm not going to strive with them. He said, there's not going to be clamor in my voice. The Pharisees need to be saved, but I'm not going to go out there and pick them up and put them in a DDT to get saved and tell them to trust me. He says, they're bruised. He said the man with the withered hand was bruised. He didn't need to be nailed to the wall by the law, but he needed to be loved. I want to say that even in this building, probably, most likely, there are some wounded hearts here. Those who have been broken lately. Those who are bruised, kind of like that reed, where it's been knocked over somehow. It's still attached to itself, but one fiber away from being completely broken. In fact, the words bruised reed basically means crushed completely. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you crushed completely? You see, this verse doesn't only refer to the lost person or the person who doesn't know Jesus, who's trying to deal with their situations in life within their own intellect and natural mind. But it also deals with the Christian who's been wounded. Wounded in life, wounded by a friend, wounded in ministry. All of these things add up to a person being one step away from loss. So we see this morning, when it comes to this bruised reed and smoking flax, it has to do with the wounded. It's an emblem of feebleness this morning. But there's a second thing I want to mention. Not only the wounded we see here, but we see the waning here as well. The waning. He said, a bruised reed, that's the wounded, shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. And what is the smoking flax? Smoking flax has given us a picture. And is trying to portray that of a candle or a lamp when all of the oil has been exhausted. The oil's gone. It's running on fumes, so to speak, and the wick is almost down and the flame is almost out. And when the oil is gone and it's been exhausted and it begins to wane, and that flame gets smaller and smaller, it sends off big smoke stacks, basically. It starts to really start smoking. That's because the flame's about to go out. I was looking a moment ago. The Lord spoke to me about David in the book of Psalms. And in one place he says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. What does he mean by that? Back in Bible days, they would make containers that would hold wine and different things, and liquids and water. But one way to do that, they would make a tent-like. And they would hang these animal skins. They would put the animal skins together and sew them together, put them together, and then they would hang them in a tent or a closed area. Probably some ventilation, not much. But there would be a fire there. Maybe not inside the tent, the whole thing would burn up, but near, close proximity and range. But eventually, the whole inside of the place was filled with smoke, and it was dark. And the smoke would contract all, and the heat would contract all of the moisture out of those animal skins, and it would be rough, and it would look ragged. Keep in mind, it would be in a dark place. And I believe when David was saying that I become like a bottle in the smoke, he said that there is a time in my life when I was in a dark place. He said when I tried to see through the smoke and I couldn't see. And he said all of the moisture in my bones have been dried up. I feel like I got broke bones. And David says that that's me. He said, I'm a bottle in the smoke. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is that you? Are you like that bottle in the smoke? Is it hard for you to see spiritual direction this morning? Do you know your purpose in life? Sometimes we arrive at those places, and sometimes we don't know how we get to those places. But nonetheless, David was a bottle in the smoke. Back in our verses here in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20, this prophecy says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoke and flax shall he not quench. The smoke and flax is a flickering flame. At one time in life, this candle, this lamp would have a full flame. It was a blaze. And because of that, it can light up a room when the candle was in it, the lamp. At nighttime, it could light up your path, but now it's dwindling, and the oil is being exhausted. I want to say this morning that oil is a picture of the Holy Ghost, and it is necessary. Listen, it is necessary to have time with Jesus so that we may be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need time in prayer to be filled. And in our prayer time, it's a time of confession. It's a time of adoration to the Lord. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit is a one-time thing at the new birth, at salvation. When we receive Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit in its entirety. We have Him completely. But as we walk and live as Christians from day to day, there has to be a maintaining of practical ways of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Meaning that we have all of Him, but does He have all of us? Because the more that we give Him us, the more He's in charge. And unless providence has hindered us from going to church, unless providence has, God's providence, God's controlling has hindered us from going to church or doing separate things in the spiritual realm, if we don't go to church, if there is no victory in our life, if we are bumping bottom Sunday to Sunday, Monday through Friday, it could be because we're running on fumes. Jesus says through this prophecy of Isaiah, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. I believe he's telling us that in life, at any given time when people are together in the city, in the community, there are those who are wounded and there are also those who are waning. Are you waning this morning? Are you a smoking flax? Do you need to plug into Jesus? Are there things in your life that you need to cut out? Listen, it starts up here. And when Jesus, he speaks to me, and sometimes I'm a smoking flax. Sometimes I'm sending out a smoke signal to the Lord. Lord, help. Lord, help. Get this smoke signal. I'm running on fumes. At times, life is that way. When there's a real devil we face, and there's a real flesh, body of flesh we live in, there's spiritual warfare. And listen, we can rationalize and we can place blame on things, but at the end of the day, it's up to us in our own relationship with the Lord. But he says that there are those who are waning. Smoking flax. There are those who are wounded. The bruised reed. But then lastly, I want you to see something else. There's not only those two things, but there's the willing as well. The willing. If you notice, he says, a bruised reed. And then he says, a smoking flax. But as he mentions the bruised reed and smoking flax, he adds his communications with those kind of people. While there's some in this world who are bruised and wounded and need help, others think a finger in the face is what does it. While there are those who are smoking flax, and they've tried all they can do to spark the flame of God in their life again, some people think a finger in the face is what does the trick. But not my Lord this morning. I want to say that we serve one who is willing to embrace us. He wants to love us, and he wants to heal us. The Bible says, a bruised reed shall he not break. He said, this old world, when you're wounded, will try to break you. He said, they will spit in your face, and they will curse you and tell you that you owe them money, and you're no better than they are. But not the Lord this morning. While we may have and possess a spirit that's wounded, listen, the Lord is one who will not break us, but he wants to heal us this morning. If you're here and you're wounded, why don't you come to the altar this morning and let the Lord heal you? Let him heal your heart. If you don't know him personally, let the Lord, if you don't know Jesus this morning, listen, and he is knocking on your heart's door, you come down this morning and you say, Lord Jesus, I'm tired of being wounded. I'm tired of being hurt. Lord, my life is in pieces. I'm in a whirlwind. Please come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. If you've not done that, that is the first step toward healing. And that's spiritual healing. You need to be spiritually healed. And then comes the physical healing. You see, we miss the mark a lot of the times, don't we? What does the scripture say? And well, I believe it's in Matthew. Chapter number 6, I think it's around verse number 33, talks about our needs. And it says that we're to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you. But what does the world do? And what does even us Christians do at times when our priorities are like, we want the needs first, then we'll seek God if we get them. That's how it is in many cases. But you see, the Lord wants intimacy with you. He wants to be your Father. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to heal you this morning. But the first step in physical healing is spiritual healing. Amen. So this morning, he said that I'm not going to break you like the world does. He says, I want to heal you this morning from the inside out. And so there's the wounded, and we have the willing. Jesus, he said that he will not break. He shall not break us. In fact, if you look at the words, he not break or shall not break, literally means, and it's through the idea of not being or being unforgiving or cruel. Jesus is one who wants to show compassion. He wants to forgive. We don't serve a Lord who is one who is unforgiving or cruel or unkind. But then look at the next phrase. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. It's interesting he uses the word quench here, because the flame is almost already gone. And I want to say this morning, there are some people in this world, there are the naysayers of this world, there are the people who have wet blankets, Brother Ceylon, at home, stacked up, sopping wet, ready to put your fire out. They're everywhere you go, and anything you do and say, you can't please them. They want to put that wet blanket and quench what little bit of success you have in your life right now. But not the Lord. Not the Lord. The Lord, he says, the smoking flax shall he not quench. The word quench means to extinguish. Jesus don't want to put the fire out. He wants to start the fire. He wants to stir us up. He wants us back healthy on the inside. And when we're healthy on the inside, it will reflect on the outside. You are smoking flax this morning? Are you waning in your walk? Are you wounded? I want to say this morning that we have a Lord that's here to help. And again, we said that the Pharisees had that team huddle. They had that team huddle and they wanted to destroy him. Back in verse number 14, that is the same way this world is. And I know there's groups, I know there's organizations that help, but listen, the way the world's going and its toleration of sin and its political viewpoints, if you do not go along with their agenda, it doesn't matter how bad you're suffering, it doesn't matter how bad you're wounded, they will spit on you and stomp on you because you're not accepting of their lifestyle. We got King Jesus here, and he is the Good Samaritan. And while the religious sect and all of those others passed by that old man that day who was sick and afflicted, the Good Samaritan stopped. And he bounded him up and poured in the ointment and bound him up. And that's exactly what the Lord does this morning. He's the one who will heal the wounded heart. He is one who can cause the flame to be reignited or lit in your life. The smoking flax, the bruised reed, and then the willing. That is the Lord. He shall not break. He shall not quench. He won't extinguish anybody's fire this morning. We ought to be people, and Calvary Baptist Church is those people. We are those people that promote godly living. Listen, we're a church. We promote godly living. We want to pray together corporately. We want to pray together privately in our own spiritual lives. And we want to have successful ministries. We want people to get saved. We're all about cranking the fire up, not turning it out. That's what church ought to be, a place where the wounded can come and receive their healing. Church ought to be a place where Christians can be, and even though they're waning, the Lord crank their fire back up through the body of Christ. And it's all done by this willing man, the Lord. And then, at the latter end of verse number 20, he says, till he send forth judgment unto victory. Verse number 21 says, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. To conclude verse number 20, he mentions judgment unto victory. He's literally talking about that the gospel sanctifies the soul that is lost. That's how they receive their healing. And that's how they have that flame. But then judgment unto victory to the Christian means that it's the gospel that gives grace to the saved. And you see this, till he send forth judgment unto victory, he's talking about the truth that gives victory. He's talking about the gospel that gives victory. And he says, for the bruised reed, those who are wounded, the gospel, the truth of the gospel will give you healing. And then he says, to the smoking flax, the truth of the gospel will give your flame a new fire. I mean, it'll blaze. It has a way of bringing victory, the gospel does, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, verse number 20 is the primary verse that I wanted to focus on. And we're going to go ahead and give an invitation. And I'll tell you why. Because I feel like, and especially this morning, that there are some here that possibly are wounded. There are some here possibly that are waning. But I want to say that there's a Lord that's willing this morning. And if you're wounded or you're waning, maybe you just want to come and give the Lord praise this morning. Let today be that day that you come and do business with the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, that you would deal with the heart that doesn't know you, Father, that is trying to piece life back together for themselves. Let them know that they need Jesus on the inside, and then he'll show on the outside and take care of life. But maybe there's a Christian here who's waning. Let them come, Lord, one more time to the old-fashioned altar and get close to you that their fire may be cranked back up to a full blaze. We're thankful that you're willing and able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. In Jesus Christ, we love you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen. You come on the very first verse if you need